today we actually are. We are in week 26 of our message series called Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. And actually, next week is going to be the last week in this message series. So I don't know if that's a good thing or if that's a bad thing, if you're happy to have the series end or if you're sad to have it end. But, you know, just now that we know that God is leading us to transition to meeting in a home, I think now is time for us to really begin to consider how to put into practice some of these things that we've been talking about for, well, the last 9 or 10 months. And so this week and next week, I want to take some time just to review and to summarize some of the things we've been talking about during this series, right? As we've been studying Scripture together, I think God has been changing our thinking. He has been changing our understanding of church. And I think He is giving us a new paradigm for how to gather together as a church family. And actually, it's not really a new paradigm, is it? I've said this before, but because it's really an old paradigm, it's really a paradigm that we hope is coming from the Scriptures. It's God's heart as revealed in the New Testament. But friends, through our studies in this series, through our reading of Scripture, I think we have been discovering a different way of doing church. Actually, there's different names that people have given to this way of doing church. Some people have called this organic church. Have you ever heard that phrase? The whole idea of organic is something is all natural, right? There's nothing artificial added to it, so organic church is kind of natural church, right? Some people call this a house church because, well, commonly, these kinds of churches meet in homes because it's in a home that it's easier to be more intimate. It's easier to do relationship when you're in a house type of setting, right? Another term that's often used is the term simple church. I guess the thinking is when you take away all of those kind of practices and traditions that man has added to the church over the last number of centuries, then the way of doing church becomes much more simple. Thus, simple church. But basically, all three of these terms, really, they all have basically the same meaning. And they're all just a way of describing how to do church in a way that really reflects God's heart. It's a way of describing how to do church in a way that is really trying to get back to just the biblical form of being the body that we see written here in Scripture. So for me personally, I like this last phrase. I like the term simple church. I think it's just easy to understand in both English and in Japanese. And so for the next 2 weeks, I just want to try to take some time to describe what simple church might look like, right? As we review all of the different things we've been talking about in this message series, right? It might be good just to kind of try to tie it up in a nice, neat package so we can get an idea of what simple church is like. And especially as we sense maybe the Lord is leading us to go in this new and different direction, I think it would be good for us to try to get a picture of what the next season of SIBC might look like. So today we're actually going to look at just some general characteristics of simple church. And then next week, as we conclude this series, we'll look more specifically at what a simple church gathering might actually look like. You know, what sort of things might we do when we gather together as a church family so that we can genuinely reflect God's heart for the church? So it's been a good journey. I think we're almost at the finish line here. Okay, well, let's go ahead and start this morning by looking at Matthew chapter 16. The verse is actually printed on the front of your bulletin. It's actually been on the front of your bulletin for the entire series here. But the entire verse, Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says this. Jesus says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, in the past, we've taken a look at this passage. We've discussed it in detail. But today, I just want to draw your attention once again just to those simple words of Jesus. Jesus says, "I will build my church." Friends, I think those words of Jesus are very significant. You see, we do not build Jesus' church. Right? And Jesus doesn't build our church. Right? Jesus says that He Himself builds His own church. You see, after Jesus died on the cross, after He rose from the grave and returned to His Father in heaven, 10 days later, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of those who believe in Him. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus began to build His church. And then for the next century or two, friends, this church that Jesus was building, it was quite simple. It was very relational, as we read the New Testament. It was very organic. It was the family of God often meeting together in people's homes. But you know, in the year 313, all of that began to change. You see, this man here, Constantine the Great, he was the emperor of Rome, and he became a Christian. And in the year 313, Constantine made Christianity a legal religion in the Roman Empire. You see, before 313, it was illegal to be a Christian. So Christians, well, they were the persecuted minority, right? Being a Christian was kind of harmful to your health, right? You might die for believing in Jesus. But now after 313, it actually became popular to be a Christian. I mean, the emperor was a Christian, so all of the wealthy people followed the emperor, and it was a very popular thing to become a Christian. Christians became the majority. And then because of Christianity's new popularity, and because of the support of the emperor, friends, the church began to change. And specifically, in the few decades after 313, three changes began to appear in the church. First of all, they began to build church buildings. For the first time in the history of church, people began to build churches, buildings, for the specific purpose of Christians gathering in them to worship God. The second thing that happened is this class of clergy began to appear. These are the professional Christians who actually got paid to serve in the church and work in the church. This actually became their job. They began to appear for the very first time. And the other thing that appeared, and this is kind of interesting, the tradition of having a once-a-week gathering on Sunday morning began to appear after 313 AD. You see, friends, and when those three things began to happen, right, the church began to change. And the church was no longer just a simple gathering of God's people gathering together to seek Jesus and worship Jesus. Instead, church became, for many people, it became a religious event in a religious building run by religious people. And in the process, church stopped being simple. And so now here we are, 1,699 years later, right? And in many ways, church is still not simple. Right? Especially in developed countries like Japan, like America, right, where we have a lot of technology and stuff, church has actually become quite complicated. Even at SIBC, a small church like us, you know, it actually takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to do what we're doing right now. Did you know that? For example, here at SIBC, right, when we have our worship services, we have a bulletin, right? We have a sermon, we have singing time, we have Sunday school, we have communion, right? Well, friends, in order for these things to happen, we need people to work in the office and make the bulletins. We need preachers and translators and musicians and worship leaders and Sunday school teachers and someone who goes out to buy the bread each week, right? What we do here takes a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, a lot of organization. On top of that, in order to do what we're doing here this morning, we need, you know, a building, we need chairs, we need tables, we need sound equipment and projectors and computers and telephones and home pages, right? All of these things are necessary in order for us to do church, right? As a church, we have bills to pay, we have salaries to pay, we have rent to pay. And so we have an offering box to collect the offering, we have a treasurer to count the offering, we have a bank account to put the offering into. Friends, and all of these things we do, they need to be paid for and maintained and prepared and organized and kept running week after week, month after month, year after year. And we're a small church. Imagine what it's like if you're a big church. You see, but the point is even a small church like SIBC, it takes time, it takes effort to maintain what we do. And even though we're small, we're not so simple. And yet, as we've been studying Scripture during this series, friends, I think we've seen that church does not need to be so complicated. God's heart, I think, is that we would discover a more simple way of doing church. Now, in saying this, I'm not trying to criticize this church or any church, because personally, I've been very blessed and I've had much growth being in churches for the last 30 years, and the last 13 years here at SIBC, and I'm sure you have too, or maybe you wouldn't be here today, right? But in the last few months, I think it's become clear to us that God is leading us as a church family in a different direction. Jesus wants to build His church, not our church. He wants to build His church here at SIBC. And I think he's leading us down this path toward simple church. And you know, friends, the good news is that we're not alone. All over the world, God is nudging his people, I think, towards smaller, simpler, more organic approach to church. I mean, I was trying to find examples of this in Japan. It was hard for me to search in Japanese. But in America, you know, 6 million people each week attend some sort of simple church, organic church, house church. That's a lot of people. Thousands of churches in America are closing down each year. Some of them because the church is just dying. Many of them are closing down, not because they're dying, but because they're transitioning to something different. You see, friends, Christians are hungry for a different kind of expression of the body of Christ. They're hungry for a church without all of the stuff that man has added. They're hungry for a church that's relational, that's organic, that's simple. And you know what? This is even happening in Japan. In fact, you can go ahead and do an internet search for any of these three words, Japanese or in English, and you can find people who are doing this, who are talking about this, even in Japan. Friend, and I encourage you just to look for those and just to begin to read what people are writing on their blogs and on their home pages and just see the journey that they're on. Friends, and as you do this, you'll see that we're not alone. Right? Through a more simplified way of doing church, Jesus truly is leading his people. He's building his church. He's leading them to a more deeper, a more authentic experience of being the body of Christ. Friends, and I think as a result of doing this, I think we will grow in relationship with God. We'll grow in relationship with one another. And I think we'll grow in our ability to impact the world. Because this is God's heart for the church. So this is what happens when we, I think, embrace simple church. So let's take a look at some characteristics of simple church. And I have 7 characteristics this morning, and it might seem like a lot of points to cover, but because this is review, all of these things are things we've talked about already in this series. So I'm not going to be giving a lot of scripture references like I usually do. If you want to hear all the foundation for these, we'll go back and listen to the previous 24 messages, all right? But here we go. These are 7 characteristics of simple church. And the first one is this. Right, simple church is relational. And I don't know how we could have one word in English and a big old long sentence in Japanese, but it's really hard to say relational in Japanese. But anyway, simple church is relational. Friends, I've said this many, many times during this series, and let me just say it again. Friends, church is not an event. Church is not a meeting. Church is not a worship service. Rather, the church is the people of God who gather together for the purpose of doing relationship, right? Specifically, relationship with God and relationship with one another. Friends, that's why the church gathers. They gather to do relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. Now, as we gather together to do relationship, there will be times for worship and teaching and learning and prayer and serving and giving and evangelism and fellowship, right? And we'll do those things not because that's what you're supposed to do in a church meeting. We'll do those things because that's how we build relationship with God and with one another. That's what it means to be a spiritual family. You see, so simple church, it's about connecting with one another. It's about connecting with God. Simple church is relational. And we've talked a lot about that, but I think this is a very important characteristic of simple church. Okay, let's go on to the second characteristic. Second characteristic, simple church lets the Holy Spirit lead. Simple church lets the Holy Spirit lead. What do I mean by this? Well, you know, as Christians, we like to talk about being led by the Spirit. That's Galatians 5. We talk about keeping in step with the Spirit. Also, Galatians 5. And yet often when we gather together for our worship times together, how do I say this? Well, I guess I'm kind of condemning myself in saying this. Friends, the truth is, we don't always really follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, do we? When we gather together, it's often not, he's not the one in charge. He's not the one in control. Often, it's us. mean, for example, I spend most of the week just preparing and planning for the worship service. And so when the service starts at 10:30, everything has already been decided, right? Everything's been planned and organized. We know exactly what song we're going to sing in exactly what order. We know the announcements and the message. Everything has been planned. Now, hopefully the Holy Spirit was leading us and guiding us as we plan for the worship service. But once the service starts, we often don't really follow the Spirit. We just kind of follow our plan. And I don't know about all churches, but it just the churches I've had contact with, it seems like that's the way most churches go. There's a plan on Sunday morning, and we follow our plan. And yet, friends, as we look at the example of the New Testament church, it seems like when they gathered together, they didn't follow their plan. It really seems like they were allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them and to guide their times together as they worshiped Jesus and as they served one another. And we see that in places like 1 Corinthians 12, where there's just a mention of the spiritual gifts and how it's the Holy Spirit who is giving people gifts and allowing them to serve and to minister to one another. We see 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says everyone comes together and brings something. You see the Holy Spirit just orchestrating the times together. We see at Acts chapter 13, there's the story of the Christians in Antioch, and it says they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them what to do. And immediately, they whatever they had planned, they decided to change, and they followed, right, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? They followed the Holy Spirit's plan and not their own plan. So I'm not saying that planning and preparation is wrong. I think some of it might be necessary, especially if there's teaching involved. And yet, friends, I suspect that we don't need to plan and prepare nearly as much as we think we do. And I think maybe the reason why we like to plan and organize our worship services is because maybe we're afraid to really follow the Holy Spirit. Maybe we don't know if He will really lead us. Maybe we don't trust our ability to hear from Him. And so as a backup plan, we kind of have our own plan. But you know, friends, I think that this is something that the Lord wants to teach us to do. Because I think this is God's heart for the church. As we gather together as a simple church, we don't follow the plans of man, but we take time to wait on the Lord and let the Holy Spirit begin to lead our time together. As we look at Scripture, that seems to be characteristic of simple church. Well, this leads us, I think, to our next characteristic of church. Number three is this. Simple church shares church ministry with everyone. Right? Simple church shares the ministry of the church with everyone, right? Now, you know how I feel about pastors. We've been talking about pastors quite a bit during this series. But friends, in most churches, who's expected to do most of the ministry in the church? It's often the pastor, right? That the pastor is somehow seen as different from the ordinary Christians. Somehow the pastor is seen as special, right? Because, you know, he or she is the one who went to seminary. They're the ones who are ordained. And so we actually pay them to you know, serve in the church, to do the work of the church. And as a result, I think the church often expects that one person to do most of the ministry, or at least the important ministry of the church. And as a result, I think churches often not only look to the pastor, they depend on the pastor to maintain the ministry and the life of the body of Christ. And yet, as we've seen in this series, friends, this modern day understanding that we have a pastor really has no basis in Scripture. And therefore, this way of thinking has no place in simple church. You see, I think one of the most basic teachings we see in Scripture, and so one of the foundation principles of simple church, is that ordinary people can do ministry in the church. There's so many places in Scripture where we see this. And during this series, we've talked about this a lot. The Bible is really clear on this. Ordinary people are empowered by the Holy Spirit and can use their gifts to serve and to build up the body of Christ. Ordinary people can, and this is important, can be trusted to listen to the voice of God and follow His leading. You don't need a pastor or someone to do that for you. And you don't have to go to seminary or to do ministry in the church. You don't have to be ordained or have a title after your name like pastor in order to serve and build up the body of Christ. Now, of course, there will be leaders in the church. The Bible is really clear on that. But friends, leaders do not do all the ministry in the church. You see, in simple church, ministry is shared by everyone. Right? And that really is the heart of God. Rather than for the church to become dependent upon one person or a few group of people, everyone is active. Everyone plays a part. There are no spectators in the family of God. Friends, simple church allows each person to be a fully functioning member of the body of Christ. Right? And so in simple church, ministry isn't controlled by one or two special people. Rather, everyone is special. And everyone shares in the ministry. Okay, is this all sounding kind of familiar? I hope so. This is all review. Okay, let's continue on. Fourth characteristic of simple church. Number four is this. Simple church can gather anywhere. This one's kind of fun, I think. Right? You know, for many people, when they hear the word church, they think of a building, right? The church is a place where you go to worship God. It's usually a building with a cross on top and you got the name of the church out front. And while that kind of church kind of building is very common in today's society, friend, we really don't see that at all in the pages of the New Testament. We don't see any kind of, you know, buildings that have been specially designated as religious church buildings, right? When the early Christians gathered together, they either met in a public space, like Solomon's colonnade in Jerusalem. We see that in Acts chapter 5. So a public space or in someone's home. And friends, that's the great thing about simple church. Right? You don't need a special religious building to meet in. Right? As Christians, we can indeed gather anywhere. Wherever two or three people gather together for the purpose of worshiping God, seeking Jesus, that's the church. And so in this way, a simple church can meet in someone's home. Right? And we're going to experience that in just a few weeks, right? Right? But a simple church can also meet in the break room of your company. A simple church can meet during lunchtime at your school. Right? A simple church can meet in a restaurant. It can meet in a coffee shop. I actually had so many stories I wanted to tell you today about different places simple churches meet. I had to choose one. Here's the story I chose. This is cool. I heard about this group of Christians in Los Angeles, and they all worked in nightclubs. Right? Well, when you work in a nightclub, you don't get off work until 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So on Saturday night, they get off work, 2 o'clock in the morning, they're tired, and it was really hard for them to go to church on Sunday morning, right? It was just inconvenient for them. So you know what they did? They decided to have their own gathering. So you know when they decided to gather? At 3 o'clock in the morning, right? That was the most convenient time for them. They get off work, and they all go to church. Now, guess where they gathered? This is cool. They gathered in an empty parking lot. Isn't that weird? But all parking lots are empty at 3 in the morning, right? But at 3 in the morning, once a week, in the middle of the night, these Christians, along with their non-Christian co-workers, they would gather together in this parking lot for a time of fellowship, prayer, Bible reading, and just talking about Jesus. Friends, they didn't have a special religious building to meet in, but they were still the church. It was a group of Christians gathering together, doing life together. Friends, and that's the great thing about simple church. A simple church can really meet anywhere. And that's hard for us to imagine because we think if you don't have a building to meet in, you're not really a church. You're something less than a church if you don't have a building to meet in with the cross on top and the sign out front. And yet, that's not what the church is at all. It's the people of God gathering together. And so a simple church can really gather anywhere. It might be a private space, like someone's home. It might be a public space, like a parking lot. Doesn't matter. Now, is it wrong to meet in a building with a church on top? Absolutely not. But it's also not necessary. Anywhere and anytime Christians gather together, that is simple church. Okay? Well, let's keep going on. The next characteristic of simple church, number five, is this. Simple church needs very little money. Simple church requires very little money. Friends, if the church doesn't have a special building that they meet in, just think of all the money they can save. You don't have to pay rent or mortgage or insurance. There's no electricity bills, phone bills, water bills. You don't have to buy chairs and tables and copy machines and computers and projectors and sound equipment. On top of that, if everyone in the church is sharing the ministry, right, like it's supposed to be, maybe you don't even need to pay someone to be the pastor. Friends, and in this way, simple church has almost no expenses. Requires very little money to maintain the life and ministry of the church. You know what that means? That means that most, maybe all, of the money that is given through the offering can be given away. Right? And that's what we see in the New Testament, right? A few months ago when we talked about this, we saw that when the early church collected money, they didn't keep it for themselves. They didn't collect money and then pay their rent, or they didn't collect money and then pay their pastor. No, whenever they collected money, they always did so for the purpose of giving it away. And specifically, they gave it to two things. Remember, they gave it to those who were in need. People within their own in their own church family who maybe had financial needs. They gave it to those who were poor, to those who were suffering from famine, right? So those in need. And secondly, they gave money to those who were doing missionary and church planning work. You see, friends, that's one of the, this is one of the things that makes simple church so simple. It really doesn't require a whole lot of money. And with the offering that we do collect, we can just give it away and bless those around us, which seems to be God's heart. Okay, well, let's go on to number 6. This is one of my favorite. I really like this one. Another characteristic of simple church is simple church is easy to reproduce. Simple church is easy to reproduce. When I was in seminary, one of my professors always said that the most effective form of evangelism is church planting. Right? If you want the kingdom of God to grow, if you want people to come into the kingdom, the best thing to do is just to start new churches. Well, friends, here's the wonderful thing about simple church. Because simple churches are so simple, they're very easy to reproduce. Even a very small church, a church like us, it would be easy for us to start other new churches. Not just one, but it would not be unrealistic for us to be able to start 2, 3, 4 new churches. You see, because with simple churches, you don't need a lot of money, right? You don't need a lot of equipment. You don't need any equipment, right? You don't need to rent a building. You don't need to hire a pastor who went to seminary. In order to start, reproduce a new church, you know what you need? 2 Christians and a place to meet. A home, a coffee shop, a parking lot, wherever. And so I think for this reason, the goal of simple church is not to see how big the church can get. And that's the goal of most churches, right? 10, 20, 50, 100. Let's see how big we can get. I don't think that's the goal of simple church. It's not how big can we get. The goal of simple church is how many new churches can we start? How much can we reproduce ourselves? You see, in English, we often say bigger is better, right? But when it comes to growing the kingdom of God, I don't know if bigger churches is necessarily better. Maybe what's better is more churches. Rather than produce churches that just get bigger, 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 maybe we need churches that will just reproduce and multiply. The classic illustration for the difference for this kind of church is the difference between elephants and rabbits, right? Have you heard? Have some of you heard this? This is kind of well known, I think. I love this illustration. But as you know, we have 2 Sunday school classrooms over here, right? Let's imagine that one day we took 2 elephants and we put them in one of the rooms, right? This is a male and female elephant. We put them in the room. We gave them lots of food, lots of water, closed the door for 3 years, okay? And then we go to the next room. And in the next room, we put 2 rabbits, male and female rabbits, put them in the room, lots of food, lots of water, closed the door for 3 years. Okay? After 3 years, how many elephants will walk out of that room? Well, let me just tell you a little bit about elephants, right? Elephants reproduce very slowly. A female elephant is actually pregnant for 22 months. Some of you women, right? 22 months. It takes almost 2 years to have a baby elephant. And even then, an elephant can only give birth to 1 baby elephant at a time. So after 3 years, the maximum number of elephants that will walk out of that room will be 3. Mom, dad, and a cute little baby elephant, right? So, how many rabbits will come hopping out of that room after 3 years? Well, as some of you know, rabbits reproduce very easily, right? It only takes 30 days from the time a female rabbit gets pregnant to when she gives birth. 30 days. So this means that a female rabbit can actually give birth many times during 1 year. Right? On top of that, a rabbit can actually give birth to up to 12 rabbits at a time. So check this out. In 1 year, a single female rabbit can actually produce 800 offspring. Now, not 800 children, but she has children, and her children have children, and her children have children. So she can become a great grandma, a great grand bunny in just 1 year. Okay? Now, imagine 800. Now, half of those are male, half are female. At the beginning of the second year, you now have 400 female rabbits, all capable of producing 800 more descendants, right? Offspring. So, after 3 years, how many rabbits will come hopping out of that room? Over 10 million rabbits. See, that's the difference between elephants and rabbits. Friends, here's my point. When churches are large and hard to maintain, kind of like an elephant, it's difficult for them to reproduce. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes a lot of resource to start a new church when it's going to be a big church. But when churches are small and simple, like rabbits, it's very easy for the church to reproduce. And instead of just adding one church every couple of years, the churches actually begin to reproduce at a very fast rate. They begin to multiply. Last September, I told the story of Neil Cole. And it's such a great story. I'm going to tell it again. It's been 9 months, so maybe you've forgotten. But in 1999, Neil started just a simple house church. One church, 1999. And the church began to grow in that house. And when the size of the group reached about 15 people, you know what he did? Right? They sent some people from the group and they sent them off to start a new church in a new home. Right? So now instead of just one church, there's now two churches. The original church and the new church that was born. So the original church reproduced, right? Well, this became the model for all of their new churches. As soon as it got to about 15 people, they would always send some people off to start a new church. And in this way, instead of growing bigger, 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 which is what most churches try to do, right? These churches would grow and then reproduce. Grow and then reproduce. Whenever a church would grow, it would always start a new church. All right? So, after just 1 year, friends, this one original church had become 10 churches. So there were 10 different groups of Christians meeting in 10 different homes to seek Jesus and worship Jesus, 10 churches. Well, in the second year, these 10 churches started 18 new churches. So by the end of the second year, 28 churches. In the third year, those 28 churches reproduced themselves, started 52 more churches. So at the end of year number three, there were 80 churches. Friends, after 6 years, there were almost 600 churches in 32 states around America and in 23 nations around the world. And it started with one church. Now, if that one church would have refused to multiply, would have refused to reproduce, if it just would have stayed one church and gotten bigger, 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 do you think they could have impacted people in 32 states and 23 nations around the world? Maybe not. But friends, I can tell you stories like that from all over the world, places like Mozambique and China and Vietnam and India. I had all these stories I wanted to tell, but friends, literally hundreds and thousands of simple churches are being started every year. How is that possible? It's possible because simple churches are easy to reproduce. And so last week, or 2 weeks ago, when we talked about evangelism, I said that evangelism, you know, leading someone to Christ wasn't the final step. I think that the final step then is starting new churches But that's really what evangelism is all about. It's not just about bringing people into the church. It's bringing people to Jesus and then starting new churches. But friends, I hope this kind of inspires you a bit. Wouldn't it be great if here at SIBC we could start 2, 3, 4, 5 new churches in the next couple of years? Right now you might think it's impossible because you're thinking this as a church. But when we begin to understand how simple church is, I think we'll begin to see that that's very possible for us to do. Okay. Well, we're almost done here. Let's go on to number 7, the final characteristic of simple church. And this is, I saved the most important for last. Number 7 is this. Simple church is all about Jesus. Right? Jesus is the head. Jesus is the center. Jesus is our leader. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the one who died on the cross to purchase us so that we could even be a church. Friends, it's all about Jesus. So as we gather together here as a church family, there's one thing that we desire, one thing that we hunger for, there's one thing that motivates us to be here, and that's Jesus, right? We want to know Jesus more, we want to seek Jesus more, and worship Him and serve Him more. More and more we want to know His love, we want to know His power, we want to know His grace, we want to know His presence in our lives. We want to be transformed by Jesus so that we can become more like Jesus, so that we can go out and we can proclaim Jesus. You see, but it's all about Jesus. Simple church is all about Jesus. That's our purpose. It's our reason. It's our motivation for all that we do. It's our mission. It's our vision. It's all about Jesus. Simple church is simply Jesus. And when you make church just about that one thing, it really does become a lot more simple. If we just gather together for that purpose, to seek Jesus, to follow Jesus, love Jesus, that simple church. So, you know, there really is so much more we could say about simple church, and we'll say a little bit more next week. But friends, as you look at these 7 characteristics on your yellow paper here, if you've been writing them down, if you look at these, you see that simple church is really not so complicated. Right? And even as we talked about these things today, I realize that some of these might be kind of hard for us to understand because maybe we've never done church like this before. It's never really ever been to a church like this. And yet, I think that's part of the adventure that we are on. Right? God is leading us in a new direction. And along the way, He's asking us to rethink some of our current ideas, some of our ways of thinking about church. And that's not always an easy thing to do. I understand that. But friends, as we begin to move forward in this new season of SIBC, we have to remember Jesus is our good shepherd. Right? And He will lead us and guide us. I'm absolutely confident of that. And so together as a church family, as we look to Jesus, as we follow Him, I really think this is going to be a good time for us. I really think that this is going to be a time of growth, a time of really discovering Jesus in a way that we never have before. Now, it won't always be easy. There'll be some bumps and hiccups along the way, but it will be good. And so, friends, as we explore what it means to be a simple church built on the heart of God as revealed through the Word of God, friends, I think we will discover this greater depth, greater intimacy, greater authenticity in our relationship with God and our relationship with others. I don't know about you, but that's what I want from church. When I gather together, I want to connect with you and I want to connect with Jesus. And that's really what simple church is all about. Let's pray. Jesus, as we are winding down the end of our series on rethinking church, we just thank You for the journey that You have been taking us on these last 9 months. And when we started this series, we didn't know how practical this was going to become. We didn't know that You were going to actually begin to lead us into this different direction as You are now leading us to Izumiotsu to become a simple church as we meet at Noji's home. But Jesus, we thank You for leading us in this way. And we confess that it's walking off our maps is kind of a scary thing. Going into a new situation is kind of different for us. We like the familiarity of the way church has always been. And yet, Jesus, we know that you're a good shepherd. And we know that you are only leading us here because it's going to be good for us. So, Jesus, I pray that you would give us faith, that you would give us courage just to look to you and just to continue to follow you during these next weeks and months. And, Jesus, I pray that you would just continue to speak to us, continue to teach us by your Holy Spirit. Continue to change our thinking, Lord, that we would truly be able to understand your heart for the church, for your heart for who you want us to be, so that we can embrace that and receive that, so that we can be the people that you want us to become. So, Jesus, we thank you for leading us up until now. And we thank you in advance for how you will continue to lead us into the future. We thank you, Lord. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.